Chapter 2. Draco works on the clock. He also continues the shop at Harry's house, entirely uninvited, to the point that Harry stops looking surprised to see him there, and no longer bothers trying to get Draco to leave. Not that he tried very hard in the first place. "You know," Draco muses, on his third visit over, "I'll bet you get your tea imported from a whole other planet or something."
"Malfoy," Harry says. "What sort of life do you think I live?"
"No, actually, I'll bet that tea trees grow and bloom into perfect existence when you walk by. Specifically, just for you."
"Come off it. Tea is not a tree."
Draco swivels his head to stare at Harry. "Merlin, I knew you were dim, but I wasn't aware how deep it went. Of course tea comes from trees. It's tea leaves, Potter. Use your brain."
"Is a tea plant? Shrub? Is not..."
"So what? Trees aren't plants? Is that what you're saying?"
"That's not what I'm saying."
"That's what it sounds like you're saying. We're not talking about trees. We're talking about tea. Which are trees?"
They argue about this for nearly 3 hours over a few cups of tea, sitting at Harry's very nice kitchen table, and then Draco goes home to work on the clock, ignoring everything else.
"How long have you been waiting here?" Harry asks,
on Draco's fifth visit, after arriving home to find Draco waiting on his front step with a scowl, arms crossed, very nearly tapping his foot.
"Where have you been?"
Draco snaps, glaring into tired green eyes with barely a spark of life in them.
"I do happen to have a life, you know. People to see, things to do. Other matters that don't revolve around you."
"That didn't at all answer my question."
"Work, Malfoy," Harry snarls,
face twisted up as he all but slams his way into his house.
"I've been at work."
Draco scoffs and sits inside beside Harry, who practically leaves his door open, seeming to understand that there'd be no use in trying to shut it on Draco.
"Work? Oh, please! As if those up to no good don't cower in fear just knowing of your mere existence. I do hate to be kept waiting, you know. Especially if it's for you to sit on the inside of a cubicle with your thumb up your arse."
"Okay, you know what?" Harry swivels around abruptly, reaching for the front of Draco's robes and taking two fistfuls. Draco sputters with no grace whatsoever, as Harry begins pushing him back forcefully.
"Not doing this today. I've neither the time nor the patience, especially not for you."
The door bangs back open without the wave of a wand, or even a hand on it, and Draco is too appalled to really break Harry's grip, so he doesn't shove his hands off before Harry's already pushed him right through the door, letting him go at the threshold. Draco stumbles to get his balance, opening his mouth, but the door slams shut in his face before he can speak a word. Sniffing an offence, Draco smooths down the front of his robes, face flushed, from anger, obviously, because of course Harry would find it perfectly acceptable to manhandle him. Draco goes home, very huffy about the whole ordeal.
"You again,"
is how Harry greets him at the door the very next day. Eyebrows raise as if he didn't expect Draco to come back.
"Yes, me again," Draco confirms,
confidently marching his way into Harry's house and taking the now familiar route to the dining room.
"Despite your boorish behaviour yesterday, I have returned."
Harry exhales a heavy sigh as he follows Draco into the room.
"I couldn't help but notice you're particularly coarse when it comes to the subject of your career," Draco adds,
entering the kitchen to make a beeline right for Harry's fancy tea. He has so many selections that Draco hasn't tried the same type once in all his visits here, and isn't today, still on the hunt for his favourite.
"How's the clock coming along, Malfoy?"
Harry asks, pointedly.
"Slowly, but I'm working on it,"
Draco replies casually, choosing an option for his tea and flicking his wand to start the process. Then turning to face Harry, one eyebrow arched.
"Unlike you, I don't mind discussing my work. I enjoy it, even."
Harry purses his lips, agitated. His mouth is exceptionally full. His bottom lip plumper than his top.
"It's annoying." "What's your point? Really, just what you've been trying to do?"
"You're obviously unhappy as an aura," Draco says bluntly.
"I'm not unhappy."
"Dissatisfied, then?"
"No."
"So, you're satisfied with being an aura?"
"It's my job," Harry snaps. "I'm not sure what you're implying."
Draco can't resist rolling his eyes.
"If you can't see the implication, it's because you're a blind idiot, not because I failed to make it obvious. I'm not the issue here, but allow me to make it clearer. You have a job that you do not like. Do you deny it?"
"Yes, I deny it."
"Is that so? Go on then. What do you like about it?"
"What?"
"Just what I said. What do you like about it? You know what I like about mine? I like working intimately with threads of magic that are often very old.
There's a lot of history in many of the artifacts I restore, and seeing the proof of that is a genuine privilege. Most of all, I take enjoyment from fixing things that are broken.
Harry's eyes narrow.
So, that's what you're doing, is it? You show up and think you're going to fix me.
Are you broken? Draco asks, and Harry's mouth snaps shut.
He doesn't say anything in response to that for a very long time.
Draco hums.
I never implied that, yet here you are, saying it.
I didn't.
Denying the truth is a lie by any other name, Potter.
Oh, fuck off.
I'm not entirely sure why you're committed to falsities with me, of all people. I know the worst of you. Who else can say the same?
You don't, actually, Harry says shortly.
Do you know the worst thing about you, Malfoy? Someone says that you have always been, and will always be, a coward. Others might say your pride, or your arrogance, or your entitlement. To me, though, the absolute worst thing is your belief that you're incapable of being wrong.
Draco merely blinks at him and asks,
Well, am I wrong about this?
Yes. Being an awe is my job. I chose it in fifth year.
Yes. The year Umbridge was breathing down your neck after the Dark Lord had returned. When the ministry was so corrupt, a war was brewing right under the noses of adults who were meant to do something about it, but failed to. Even outright refused to, at times. Of course that's what you chose to do back then, Potter. That felt like your only option, didn't it? Think about what I chose to do back then, and tell me I'm wrong.
You didn't choose to become a Death Eater, Harry says quietly.
Which is not at all what Draco expected him to say.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't. I saw what it did to you. I was there that night when Dumbledore died. I heard what you said.
You said, I know what I said.
Draco cuts in sharply.
I said a lot of things that night. That doesn't change the truth. As I said, denying it is a lie by any other name, and I wanted to be a Death Eater.
Harry's voice gets even softer, somehow.
You were scared.
So were you, and you certainly made different choices, Draco replies simply. Which only further confuses me now, because it's you who's scared, but you're not making the right choices.
Coming from the man who's proclaimed his desire to be a Death Eater, I'm not sure you have the right to judge.
I don't, but I'm going to anyway.
Harry hums, lips twitching. How shocking.
Draco clicks his tongue.
I'm allowed to if you can't even tell me one thing you like about your own job, yet you carry on denying that you're not dissatisfied with it.
Sometimes jobs are just jobs, Malfoy. It's just what you do. You go in, do your job, then you come home to find annoying Git barging inside as he likes. That's life.
Your life, though?
Sorry, is there a reason mine should be different?
Oh, well, I'd say the slayage of Dark Lords has earned you a better one. But what do I know?
It was only one, Harry says absently. You said Dark Lords, plural, but it was really only the one. And anyway, I didn't have much of a choice in the matter.
You're going to desperate lengths to miss the point.
Hermione says I'm a natural at deflecting. Anyway, did you know you sometimes sound like a fan? Of me, I mean.
Draco blinks.
I beg your pardon?
Harry grins.
The way you talk about me at times, Malfoy, it's like... I don't know, it's sort of like you've elevated me in your mind a bit. Going on about my slayage of Dark Lords, acting like I'm this big hero defeating evil just by existing, suggesting the world all but falls at my feet and the like.
I'm not sure what you're implying.
Who's the idiot now? Allow me to make it clearer then. I think you idolise me. Do you idolise me, Malfoy?
Draco stares at him, then tentatively.
Potter, were you injured yesterday at work? I think...
He bites his lip.
Well, perhaps you need a trip to St. Mungo's to get your head checked, because...
Christ, you're impossible, Harry grins.
Rubbing hand over his face, stuck somewhere between a laugh and a low growl of sheer frustration.
My point is... I'm just a regular person doing regular things and going about my regular life. You really want to know what killing Voldemort earned me? Unwanted attention, trust issues, trauma, and a complete lack of privacy. My job is really low on the list of things I'm dissatisfied with.
So you admit you're dissatisfied?
Draco asks, smugly.
Harry throws his hands up. Is that all you got from that? Listen, when I'm right, I'm right.
Draco shrugs innocently, lips curling up.
All the rest? Well, I know all of that already. I told you, I know the worst of you.
You didn't know anything about me. Not really.
I know you're dissatisfied with your job.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
You don't like it, so quit.
Harry huffs out a weak laugh and shakes his head, reaching up to run his fingers through his hair.
Quitting isn't in my nature.
Then change your nature, Draco says reasonably.
Right, because that's so simple.
I did. Are you saying you can't?
Did you? Harry asks wryly, because I can't tell.
Draco lazily flicks his wand again to get the tray set up.
If you can't tell, then you're not paying attention. What can I expect from you, though? You've always been terribly unobservant.
I haven't any of the proof, do I? It's always been in your nature to insult me. And here you are, proving my point.
When I say change your nature, I say it in the mind that you'll do it to improve your life. Insulting you has no negative impact on my life, so that's not something I've needed to change. Nor will I ever, since it brings me such joy.
You're generally the most annoying person on the planet.
Ironically, I could say the same about you. Although, you're the one that's wrong. Don't judge me unfairly through the bias of your inability to appreciate proper humour. I'm extremely funny. It's not my fault, you just don't get it.
Harry looks so unimpressed with him, which only further proves Draco's point. It feels like a victory when Harry swivels on his heel and leaves the kitchen. So Draco struts out after him with immense satisfaction, the tea tray full and following along.
As I was saying, Draco continues, once he's settled at Harry's table,
right across from him and fixing his tea.
Change your nature to positively impact your life.
Like you? Harry asks sarcastically, grumpily making his tea.
Draco nods very seriously.
Yes, precisely. See, my nature before was to be cruel in many ways. I cared about things I now know in hindsight were foolish, all befitting a child of my circumstances. I wanted to be accomplished, known, revered. I wanted it bad enough to take the easiest avenues to get there, or what I thought was easiest at the time. Hence my desire to be a Death Eater. It was not as easy as made to be, as it turned out, and so I didn't get what I wanted in the end. Frankly, I got the opposite. I was very dissatisfied with my life, so I changed my nature, and in doing so, I came to want different things and care about better things.
Well, obviously, you came to realise the issues with your mistakes, Malfoy, Harry mumbles. That's my point. You did bad things, and didn't end well for you, which made you unhappy, so you stopped doing the bad things.
A simplification of it, but sure,
Draco says under his breath.
Me, on the other hand.
Harry shakes his head, frowning down his tea as he stirs in his sugar.
Being in awe isn't bad. It's really quite good, actually. Important.
Is it bad for you?
What?
Being in awe, is it bad for you?
Draco asks.
Because yes, sometimes jobs are just fine. Sometimes they're boring. They're dull. Just something to do. Not our purpose in life. Which is all well and good. But that's not what it really is for you, is it? If a job is making you feel dissatisfied, constantly, and you have the means to quit, then you should. It's really as simple as that.
It's not.
Explain to me how it's not.
It's what I chose to do. It's what I'm good at. It's what I'm expected to do.
So, that's what this is about?
Harry squints at him.
What?
You know, the Harry Potter of it all.
Draco sips his tea, eyeing the Harry Potter in question over the rim. When he swallows, he sits it down and throws his fingers together.
Harry Potter, the Dark Lord Slayer, the hero the world is still cheering for. That's who most of the world sees you as, and so that's how they treat you, which then puts you in this position where your avenues all lead in one direction. You slay one Dark Lord, you slay them all.
I've not slayed any other.
There hasn't been another since the last, but say one rose up tomorrow. Who do you think the world would look to?
To this, Harry says nothing. He doesn't have to. They all know.
It's like Dumbledore, Draco muses thoughtfully. He handled Grindelwald, and everything from there led him to being involved in fighting Voldemort. Of course, if another did rise up, you'll be unable to resist the call of the fight. Doing the right thing, as is your nature. And so, what? You're trapped by the pressure of not only the whole world puts on you, but the pressure you put on yourself. Be in aura, because what else are you good for? Is that it?
Again, Harry says nothing. He's just staring into his tea, an alarmingly blank look on his face, jaded gaze distant and foggy.
I see, Draco murmurs. That's why you don't quit, because it's easier not to. Take it from me, Potter. That never ends well.
I'm not really in the mood for tea, Harry mumbles,
pushing to his feet and not meeting Draco's eyes.
See yourself out.
Draco does not. Instead, he finishes his tea in the silence of the room, frowning at Harry's right across from him, untouched and going cold. As established, Draco doesn't accept dissatisfaction, so when he finishes his tea, he sends off his cup and the tray to the kitchen to wash themselves, then reheats Harry's, and begins his journey into parts of the house he's never ventured before. The first floor is dim and dark, so Draco carries on onto the second, getting the same results there. The third, thankfully, has a door at the end with a thin strip of light under the bottom of it. Draco goes right to it, ignoring the uneasy feeling trying to shiver up his spine, because he's in control. Confidently, he knocks.
You did not see yourself out, Harry says flatly,
when he opens the door, clearly displeased by Draco's presence.
Merlin Potter, put on a shirt,
hisses Draco, who doesn't much care about Harry's lukewarm welcome when he's going around half-dressed like a barbarian. Has he no manners? No class, walking around like a slag. His chest hair is just there. Harry glances down his own chest in disinterest, then looks up with a frown.
This is my house, Malfoy. I'll wear what I like.
The issue is what you're not wearing.
Then leave. Actually, do that anyway.
Draco ignores that, snatching his gaze up to glare at Harry with all the force of the heat under his skin right now. From disdain, obviously.
I was about to. First, here, take your tea.
I said I wasn't.
I don't care what you said. You wanted it before the discussion took an unpleasant turn, or else you wouldn't have made it the way you like. So drink it.
Fine, Harry snaps,
reaching out to take it.
Will you go now?
Yes, just...
Draco struggles not to grind his teeth, keeping his eyes fixed firmly on Harry's face.
Look, you alone are responsible for the trajectory of your life, Potter. Which means, if there's an issue in it, then it's up to you to do something about it.
Malfoy, Harry starts.
And,
Draco continues, his voice softening.
For the record, it'd be a shame for you to settle for spending your life dissatisfied. Not because you're the Dark Lord Slayer, but because you're a regular person doing regular things and going about your regular life. The people that are find ways to change their life when they're unhappy with it. So it'd be terribly unfair if you couldn't do the same.
Harry stares out at him, visibly startled. Mouth still hanging open a little bit. His eyes are very big behind his glasses, and very green. A beat passes, and then Draco turns and sees himself out.
Why is he here?
Ron asks. Harry sighs.
I don't know. He sort of just shows up.
How's the clock coming along?
Hermione asks, sitting down at the table while Harry and Ron go into the kitchen.
Making progress.
Draco lies. Draco and Harry have approximately three more arguments on the topic of Harry's career, ranging from simple bickering to nearly coming to blows. And then, one day, out of nowhere, whilst making lunch, Harry says,
I don't even know what else I'd do.
It takes Draco a moment to catch up to what he's even talking about, considering they actually weren't discussing the topic of his career at the time. But then Draco does catch up, realises it's his time to shine, and asks,
What do you want to do?
Nothing, is Harry's answer.
So, do nothing, Draco says.
No,
Harry grimaces, which makes Draco side-eye the knife he's holding, because he's peeling potatoes by hand like a commoner, and Draco's just waiting for the moment he nicks himself in his distraction. Terrible with hand-eye coordination, this one. Which makes remembering all the Quidditch matches where he caught the snitch before Draco could a truly humbling experience.
I mean, obviously I don't want to do nothing, but I don't...
Draco looks away from the knife.
You don't know what you'd want to do.
Right, other than what I'm already doing.
Except you don't actually want to be doing that.
Harry's jaw clenches.
Malfoy.
Well,
"What do you like?" Draco asks, brushing past Harry's minor tantrum, due to the stubborn refusal to admit he actually despises his job and has no desire to do it.
"I don't know."
"You don't know what you like?"
"I mean, sure, but career-wise?"
"Anything can be a career if you're determined enough. So start with the things you like and go from there."
Harry clears his throat.
"I like flying."
"Quidditch player," Draco rattles off immediately.
"No, I don't want to do that. The last thing I need is more attention and fame. And I wouldn't, well, to be honest, I wouldn't earn my spot on any team through skill. They'd take me because I'm
the Dark Lord's Slayer."
"Right, got it.
Except you happen to be..."
Draco pauses, face twisting. Then he forces himself to get the words out, grudgingly admitting,
"You happen to have a tiny bit of skill in this particular area, though."
"That took a lot out of you, didn't it?"
Harry asks, glancing over to him in amusement. Draco sighs.
"Yes, I'll need to lie down for a few hours to recover, undoubtedly, but my point still stands."
"Even so, the tension is a drawback I'd rather do without. I also don't really want to travel that much, or not the way Quidditch players are forced to. Ginny's away a lot, you know, and she loves it, but I like being home."
"Very well. Next, then."
"Teaching's all right."
"You don't sound particularly enthusiastic about it."
Harry makes a face again, so Draco checks the knife, baffled by how he hasn't cut himself yet.
"It's complicated. I like teaching, or I did back in fifth year, and it felt right. But again, the students would be, well, you can likely guess."
"Eventually, they'll just see you as Professor Potter, though," Draco tells him. "At some point, the novelty would wear off."
"Maybe, but then again, maybe not. Even if it did, I'll have to deal with it every year of the first years. And the time it would take is just..." "Merlin, I don't want to deal with that."
"Well, sorry to break it to you, Potter, but any career you take is going to have that. Even as an aura, you deal with it, don't you?"
"Yeah," Harry says grimly.
Draco purses his lips, then says,
"Any career in this world, that is. If you want to be treated less like a Dark Lord Slayer, why not go somewhere no one knows you slayed a Dark Lord?"
"You mean another country?"
Harry glances over at him with a frown.
"I don't want to move away, Malfoy. I just said..."
"No, I meant the Muggle world,"
Draco cuts in. And Harry blinks at him.
"They've got teachers there, surely. Go be one."
Harry opens his mouth, closes it, then huffs a laugh.
"Well, it's not as simple to become one for Muggles as it is here. They don't just pick people, yeah? You have to have credentials and the like."
"How do you get the credentials?"
"You have to go to uni."
Draco nods.
"All right, so go to uni."
"I'm 24.
"Brilliant. You've learned your own age. Well done, you insufferable git. Is there an age restriction to uni?"
"I..."
Harry halts, mouth snapping shut as his eyebrows scrunch together, which makes Draco want to reach out and poke him right in between them, and also makes Draco's stomach do a silly little twist. From repulsion, obviously.
"I don't actually know."
"I suppose Granger would, though, wouldn't she?"
Draco suggests, looking away from the wrinkle on Harry's forehead to observe his hands again, where he's still peeling potatoes. He has various scars scattered across them, faded from time, or his nails are short, blunt, and sort of square. The movement of his fingers are sure and swift, rippling in motion as he steadily unravels the skin off the potatoes. It's oddly mesmerising to watch.
"Thing is, I don't want to give up magic."
"Who said you have to? Working with Muggles isn't unheard of for people with magic, believe it or not. You could still live here and do magic while at home. You'll only need to carry on like a Muggle at work. I suppose it comes down to what it is you actually prefer. Teaching itself or working with magic."
"I suppose magic isn't a requirement. I prefer it, honestly. But in the trade-off to be treated like normal, I'll go half a day without it. Sort of fitting. I spent half my life without magic as it was."
"Sounds horrible."
"It was. Just not for the reasons you think. It wasn't the lack of magic that was a problem. I didn't want to go without it or anything. But if I wasn't full-time, I'd be all right with it, I think."
"Right. Well, Granger would know about the process, surely. About uni and the credentials, I mean."
"Yeah. I reckon she would," Harry murmurs.
"So ask," Draco tells him. "Can't hurt to ask, can it?"
Harry slants him a look out of the corner of his eye, but doesn't answer. He doesn't have to. The fact that they've had the discussion at all tells Draco all he needs to know. Harry can't leave anything alone once his mind is set on it. So if he's curious, if any part of him actually wants to change things he's dissatisfied with, then he'd be asking Hermione. And Draco trusts that she'll take it from there. For now, Harry continues to peel potatoes, and Draco continues to watch. Not once does Harry bleed. The next time Draco arrives at Harry's house, a child with a shock of turquoise hair is the one who opens the door. Draco looks down at the boy, who tilts his head up to look right back, seeming comically startled to see Draco standing there. Draco, in turn, is almost as comically startled as the child, because it simply never crossed his mind that Harry might have procreated. 24 isn't too young by most people's standards to have their first child. Draco knows of people who were in his year at Hogwarts, or even below, that are already waiting on a third. Even so, this boy looks a bit older than just a few years, more as if he was born during or right after the war, which doesn't quite make sense if he's Harry's. Not that he really resembles Harry at all, but maybe Harry adopted him. That'd be something he'd do. It's actually very common for there to be an abundance of children born to or taken in by those who survived the war. Comes with the territory of surviving, Draco suspects. And those that did often want big families, a lot of people to love, more children to share the world with, now that it's improved from what it was during the war. Even Draco isn't immune to it, honestly, because he's found himself feeling very wistful about the thought of being a father, doubting he'll ever get the chance, but knowing now that he wants to. Even so, if Harry had a child, or adopted one, surely the whole world would know about it, much like they would if Draco did, which is one of the primary reasons he's unwilling to burden a child with him as a father in the first place. The media attention is brutal, frankly, especially when it comes to Harry. Although, given Harry's blatant distaste for it, he'd certainly go out of his way to keep any child associated with him from scrutiny. That, Draco doesn't doubt one bit, which might explain why he had no idea about this one. Except, well, Draco has been over many times, and not once has he seen this child. Maybe Harry and Ginny share custody? That could explain the child's absence, and it's not as if Draco is over every single day, for whole days at a time. It's only every couple of days, for a few hours at a time. Hello, the boy says very politely, holding his hand out as he blinks big brown eyes at Draco.
I'm Teddy.
Hello, Teddy. I'm Draco, is how Draco responds in kind. Equally polite, and reaches out to shake Teddy's hand, except Teddy just continues to hold it, then proceeds to tell Draco inside. Oh, we're going in. Yes, all right, certainly.
It's nice to meet you,
Teddy offers, sounding very calm as he leads Draco further into the hall, clearly at ease here, comfortable in the house, as if he's over often. He certainly knows where he's going, because he pulls Draco right through the door that opens to the dining room without faltering. It's nice to meet you as well, Draco replies, not wanting to pull his hand away from Teddy and be rude, but not entirely sure if Harry will appreciate it. I like your hair. It's very blue.
Thank you. I like yours too. It's very pretty.
Teddy cranes his head back, nose scrunching up, and then his hair fades into the same shade of white gold as Draco's, though it remains in his style of floppy waves that curl adorably round his ears. Draco raises his eyebrows. Neat trick.
It's an ability, Teddy says. I was born a metamorphmagus, like my mum. I can do lots of things if I try really hard, then sometimes even when I'm not trying, but that's only when I'm feeling a lot. It doesn't hurt.
I see, Draco says, even though he gathered that almost instantly after he saw Teddy's hair change. But he gets the feeling Teddy's had to explain it before, or maybe takes pride in it. He said he got it from his mum, didn't he? That might explain why. I take it blue isn't your natural hair colour, and it's just your favourite.
I like it a lot, Teddy replies. It's not Ravenclaw's shade, but it's still blue, and I want to be Ravenclaw, even though no one in my family has been. My grandparents on my mum's side were in Slytherin and Hufflepuff. Then my granddad on my dad's side was a Gryffindor, and my mum was a Hufflepuff while my dad was a Gryffindor, so I hope I can be the first Ravenclaw.
Right. Draco blinks rapidly, trying to take in the influx of information and sort through it, but giving up rather quickly. For the life of him, he can't work out who this boy's mother might be. A Hufflepuff, he said. Merlin. Draco can't remember any of them to save his life. Well, if Ravenclaw suits you, I'm sure you'll get it. Very fine house,
Ravenclaw. Now, where's your father?
Teddy looks at him oddly.
He's dead.
Oh, Draco says awkwardly. He sort of assumed this already, if Harry had adopted him, but he hadn't realised that Teddy might not actually call Harry his father. Terribly sorry about that.
It's all right,
Teddy replies.
He always has been since I was a baby. Maybe you just didn't know.
I didn't, Draco confirms. Right, where's Potter then?
He's in the kitchen. He's cooking for us. Come on,
Teddy says, then resumes tugging Draco through the room. He pushes the door open with one hand and pulls Draco along with the other. Harry's at the stove, his back to them as they enter, and Teddy's voice is full of accusation when he speaks next.
Harry, your special friend is here. You didn't tell me your special friend was a boy.
Harry jerks around, looking as bewildered as Draco feels.
What? No, that's not. He's not. Malfoy, what are you doing here?
Thought I'd stop by, Draco admits. I'm sensing this wasn't a good time.
No, well, I mean...
Harry blows out a deep breath. We've been expecting someone else, is all.
Wait,
Teddy says.
He's not your special friend?
No, Teddy. My special friend is a girl.
So, boys can't be special friends?
I...
Harry's mouth hangs open. Eyes very round behind his glasses, clearly caught out. Hopeless. Utterly, despicably hopeless. He's so visibly in over his head that it's genuinely amusing. And Drake is finally starting to understand what's going on here. Why Teddy looks so surprised to see him at the door. The girlfriend must be coming over. But Drake just so happened to get to it first.
Yes, of course they can,
Drake answers Teddy, who looks up at him without blinking.
It's just that I'm not that. Or well, I'm very special, so that's fitting, but I'm not Potter's friend. In fact, I'm his mortal enemy.
Teddy frowns at him.
So, why are you in his house?
I visit, Draco says simply. In any case, I'm not his friend, the way the woman you were expecting is.
Actually.
He looks over at Harry, eyebrows raised.
Why are you calling it that anyway? It gets a bit confusing when it's put like that, surely. I mean, how old is he?
Draco looks back at Teddy.
How old are you?
6,
Teddy answers promptly.
It is confusing. Harry, do you have a girlfriend? Is that what you meant?
Harry heaves a sigh.
Yes, I do. And yes, that's what I meant.
Why didn't you just say that?
Teddy asks, eyebrows scrunching together.
You know, now that I think about it, I'm not sure, Harry says wryly, shaking his head. Anyway, never mind that. Teddy, this is Draco Malfoy. He's... you know your gran?
Yes.
Well, she has a sister. And Malfoy's her sister's son.
Teddy tips his head back to blink at Draco, who is doing some sort of familial maths to work out how this child is related to him.
Oh, so are you like my uncle?
Not at all, Draco says, because he's finally narrowed it down.
Ah, this is the Lupin chart.
I'm a distant cousin, I think. Honestly, it gets a bit hard to keep track between all the inbreeding and disowments. Best to not think too hard about it.
All right,
Teddy replies simply. Then tucks his hand from Draco's and bounces in place.
Harry, can I go to my room now?
That's fine, Harry nods, if the doorbell rings.
I want to answer it. Can't I answer it? I was very polite. Tell him, Mr. Draco, I was very polite, wasn't I?
Teddy pleads, looking up at Draco imploringly.
He was, Draco confirms, nodding because he was.
Harry looks at Teddy for a long moment, then sighs again, his lips curling up.
Yes, all right, you can answer.
Thank you. Going now.
Right. Brilliant. Oi, no running on the stairs.
Teddy laughs as he darts from the room, calling out,
I won't. I promise.
Then a few moments later, there's a sound of him quite blatantly running up the stairs. Harry looks at Draco, who says,
Your food is burning.
With a violent curse, Harry whips around, diving madly towards the stove to wave away the smoke and salvage what Draco presumes is supper. He leans back against the opposite counter with his arms crossed. Listening to Harry mutter under his breath.
So, Draco muses, Teddy's meeting the girlfriend then?
Yeah, I thought it best,
Harry mumbles distractedly, frowning down into a pot.
If I'm going to continue dating her, she'll need to know him and get on with him. He's my godson.
Draco hums thoughtfully.
There, it's all coming together now.
What?
Harry glances over at him, baffled.
What is? Malfoy, what on earth are you talking about this time?
Nothing,
Draco tells him, shaking his head. So you're letting her meet your godson? Sounds like it's getting serious.
No, not really, Harry replies absently. It just can't get serious if she doesn't know him or isn't good with him. He's a big part of my life and I haven't had to do this before, you know, so I'm not really sure how. The introductions, I mean. He was too young when I was with Ginny, and anyway, he grew up around her and the Weasleys, so that never would have been an issue.
You've not been with anyone since Weasley?
It's been 5 years. Of course there have been encounters.
Oh, is that what we're calling it?
Draco asks, amused.
Harry rolls his eyes.
Shut up. I just meant there's never been a relationship, really. That's difficult for me.
Relationships? Why?
Well, for a while, I was just adjusting after the war, and basically my entire childhood. And that ended up taking longer than likely anyone expected, myself included. After that, it was sort of hard to find people who didn't want to be with me just because I'm, you know, me.
I should think people wanted to be with you because you're you is the whole point.
No, not... I meant...
Draco interrupts with a heavy sigh. I know what you meant, and I get it, actually. Both the same way and in the reverse.
How do you mean?
Some people find out who I am, realise the things I've done, spot the mark on my arm, and it either sends them running, or occasionally it...
Draw them in. Draw them in?
Yes. There are some people who... They seem to get a thrill from being able to claim they've shagged a Death Eater. Like a very twisted conquest, if you will.
Harry's nose wrinkles. That's repulsive.
I learned about it the hard way, Draco says, clearing his throat. He refuses to go in detail about it. How fucked up it was to be treated like less than dirt. Rarely but mutual pleasure. Those especially bad ones that took enjoyment from being too rough, or not letting him get off at all, degrading him only after he foolishly let them in his bed. Or the one he will never forget, where he spat on, and the laughter that came after. Yes, Draco learned the hard way to be very selective about who he shagged. But there was a time, years ago, when he didn't care. When he felt he deserved it. When he was desperate enough to put up with anything just to be touched. Just be held for a little while. It got better as he got older. He stopped allowing it, and started learning to spot the signs before it ever got that far. Eventually, it just became easier to shag muggles. Because to them, the mark was only a tattoo, and he was just a beautiful man they could feel good with. The way one-offs like that are supposed to be. Not a twisted conquest where the other gets off to fucking a Death Eater, like a sick little power fantasy, then go bragging to friends about how shit they treated him, how pathetic he was, how he earned it.
Reckon that's worse then.
Harry gestures to himself.
It's all ridiculous, really. The complications around intimacy, I mean.
Isn't it just?
I don't get it, honestly. The way some of them would act. I mean, at times. It's like they expected me to kill Voldemort again and drop him at their feet.
Draco snorts. Oh, right. Nothing as arousing as that.
Right, Harry mutters, heaving a sigh. I don't know. It's just a lot of expectations and the like, or even assumptions about me. What type of things I enjoy. Bloody treated me like I was Merlin or something. So yeah, relationships have been difficult for me.
A lot of pressure too, I'll bet, Draco says, clicking his tongue and shaking his head. Of course you fail to rise to the occasion from time to time. Just because you're the Dark Lord Slayer doesn't guarantee your sexual prowess is top quality.
Exactly.
Harry bursts out, and then he falters, face dipping into a scowl while Draco cracks up laughing.
Oh, piss off, Malfoy. That wasn't what I meant. My sexual prowess is very... Stop laughing, you stupid fuckwit. You're not funny.
I'm actually hilarious, Draco corrects him. But please do carry on defending your sexual prowess.
Stop calling it that, would you?
No, I don't think I will.
Harry huffs. I hate you. Truly I do, like no one else.
I know, Draco says smugly. Anyway, don't be angry at me for your failings in sexual prowess. Some people are just mediocre in that regard. No shame in it. I mean, I can't relate. I'm not mediocre.
Are you sure?
Absolutely certain. Are you really, really sure?
Yes, I've never had any complaints.
Right, because your various sexual partners would surely tell you if they did. You,
Harry Potter. They'd definitely complain. I...
Harry's mouth snaps shut, eyes going distant and foggy. And then he looks downright horrified. He chokes out a garbled noise and looks at Draco, whispering,
"Oh my God. Oh my God. You're actually... You're right. They wouldn't complain. Of course they wouldn't. They... Oh my God, am I mediocre in bed?"
Draco snickers at him.
"Yeah, most likely. You are in many other ways, so this shouldn't come as a surprise. What if I'm unsatisfying? I mean, I know I wasn't with Ginny. She made sure I wasn't. But everyone after her... Christ."
Harry squeezes his eyes shut, covering his mouth with his hand, as if nothing has ever upset him as much as this.
It's very entertaining. "The food's burning again," Draco informs him lightly. "For fuck's sake," Harry bellows, bursting into motion as he once again focuses on saving the food.
Draco's having a marvellous time. Well, he is, until an owl swoops into the kitchen and flaps wildly around his head, making a complete mess of his hair, which has him hissing and ducking out of range of the stupid bird as he quickly smooths his hair down again. He throws a glare at Harry, because clearly this is his fault somehow. But Harry isn't paying attention to him, too focused on the letter he's taken from the owl's leg. The frown on Harry's face becomes more pronounced as he reads, and by the end, he looks deeply unhappy.
"Fuck,"
Harry says softly, swallowing harshly as he crumples the letter up in his fist. The owl pecks at the side of his head, rucking up more of his messy hair, so he absently gives it a piece of meat that had burned. The owl takes it and flies back out.
"Everything all right?" Draco asks carefully.
"I was cancelled," Harry mumbles dully. "She's... I don't know. Maybe something came up, which is fine. It's just... Well, Teddy was excited to meet her. He loves meeting people. And like I said, I wasn't sure how to do this. So I think it felt like a big deal to me, which made it feel like a big deal to him. And I..."
"What?"
"I hate to let him down, I suppose."
Draco purses his lips.
"Did she say why she couldn't come?"
"Not in so many details, no."
"Did she say anything about rescheduling?"
"Ah, no, but I'm sure we will."
Harry sighs and tips his head back to stare at the ceiling.
"You know, this whole being a godfather thing is not for the faint of heart, let me tell you. I really didn't give Sirius enough credit. Honestly, I'm not sure anyone did. And I was rather hard on him, I think."
"Yes, because you were having such a lovely go of it at the time."
"I know. It was hard back then for all of us. But I just mean that I understand it better now on the other side of it, wanting to get things right, and how hard that is sometimes."
"Potter, your girlfriend failed to show up for dinner," Draco says, exasperated. "It's not as if you're ruining his whole life."
"Just this day, then."
"His dinner plans, at most. He's 6. He'll get over it."
Harry glances over at him.
"I know what you're saying, I do. But I was nervous about it. I wanted it to go well. And honestly, I sort of just wanted to get it over with."
"It's not as if you're marrying her."
"No, I know. But I do worry here, Phil. Well, I don't want him to feel it's not something I can balance. Loving him and being in a relationship at the same time, I mean."
Draco hums.
"Always so noble. Relax, Potter. I spent less than 10 minutes with the two of you, and only an idiot would doubt your love for him. Are you calling your godson an idiot?"
"No, but he is a child."
"Yes, but that doesn't make him incompetent. You don't doubt your godfather's love for you, do you? You're more of an idiot than a 6-year-old, so if you don't, then he certainly won't.
You know, Malfoy, you're a bit like a sandwich."
"Beg pardon?"
Harry breaks out into a grin.
"No, honestly, you are. You do this thing where you'll say something awful, maybe a couple of weird things after, then put something sort of nice in between, then close it up with something awful again. Exactly like a sandwich."
"Who's saying weird shit now?" Draco mutters, appalled. "And just what kind of sandwiches have you been making?"
"Better ones than the one you are," Harry declares, still chortling under his breath as he moves past him to go into the dining room.
A beat later, there's a muffled sound of,
"Teddy?"
And even more muffled,
"Yeah?"
Faintly,
"Come down here, please."
Fainter,
"Coming."
Harry sweeps back into the kitchen amidst the distant thumps of Teddy running down the stairs. And then he's still running when he comes bursting into the kitchen, a streak of paint high on his forehead, now sporting green eyes, the exact replica of Harry's.
Paired with the blue hair and paint, he's all colour right now.
Working on your mural, are ye? Harry asks,
smiling softly as he reaches out to snatch Teddy up and plant him on the counter next to the stove, licking his finger and scrubbing at the streak of paint as Teddy giggles and squirms away.
Yeah, I have been, and I made a mess,
Teddy announces with obvious pride, beaming about it.
Lovely, Harry says. We'll have fun cleaning that up after supper. First, though, supper, and I've some bad news.
Teddy frowns and holds his fist out, thumb sticking straight up before he turns it to point down. Harry chuckles weakly.
Yeah, sorry, Teddy. My girlfriend won't be able to make it to dinner.
Is she all right?
Yeah, she's fine. She just couldn't make it.
Oh, I put on my favourite shoes.
I know. They're very nice shoes. I'm sorry.
Teddy shrugs one shoulder, not seeming fussed.
It's all right. It won't be just us, though. Mr. Draco's here too, so he'll stay.
Teddy, Malfoy isn't staying, Harry says.
Why not?
Teddy squints at Draco.
You're already here, and you're basically my uncle, so you've got to.
He lifts off his feet, rocking his trainers back and forth.
Look at my shoes.
Draco looks at them, then says, they're covered in paint.
I know, they're wicked, aren't they?
Teddy smiles.
Anyway, there's 3 plates on the table, so no point in wasting one. You can use it. Harry doesn't mind if you do, right, Harry?
Harry once again looks caught out, glancing over at Draco, who merely arches an eyebrow.
Well, no. I suppose it doesn't make much of a difference if it's tea or dinner. You're around whenever you want to be as it is, so if you want...
I don't mind, Draco cuts in, ignoring as Teddy immediately begins cheering, pointing at the stove instead. But I refuse to eat absolutely any of that. Harry throws a grimace at the ruined food.
Yeah, might be best if none of us eat that.
All right, Teddy. New plans for supper since I botched it. Your pick tonight. What are we having?
Without missing a beat, Teddy says, sandwiches.
And Harry immediately cracks up laughing. Draco huffs, which draws 2 pairs of sparkling green eyes to him and makes his chest flutter. From agitation, obviously.
Yeah, Harry agrees, grinning. Sandwiches are good, so sandwiches it is. Malfoy, any complaints?
Many, Draco replies dryly. You'll hear them all.
True to his word, Draco makes sure Harry does. But overall, it's not a bad way to spend the evening. Much better than Harry usually does, at least. And the sandwiches are, in fact, very good.
You've been listening to From Love, Obviously, written by Bizarre Stars and read by Reverie Pie.